In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Jamie Kloss has been home 3 weeks now. Some of the fanfare is settling down, though. I see she was featured on last week's cover of People magazine. I know there are many new, heartbreaking, intense news stories every day. Why one captures a person's attention more than the others, I don't know. But I happened to see an interview this week with Jamie's grandfather, Robert Nyberg. What a beautiful, loving man and grandfather. You could see the compassion in his eyes. You could hear both the pain and the joy in his quiet voice. But several things he said are well worth repeating. When asked about seeing Jamie for the first time, he got a twinkle in his eye, and he said, or shall I say, he boasted, "I was the first one to get over there and give her a hug." And he followed that with, "My family told me later, that's the first time they've seen a smile on my face in 3 months." 3 months. And when asked for a final word, Grandpa Robert said, "I wasn't giving up, and no one around me was giving up either." Now, this week in the church, we celebrate a feast called the Meeting of Our Lord in the Temple. 40 days after Jesus was born, that's why this is 40 days after Christmas, 40 days after Jesus was born, he was brought to the temple for the first time according to the Old Testament law. Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple. And the law asked, or required, I should say, that the family bring along a lamb, or if they couldn't afford a lamb, then either two turtle doves or two pigeons. And then when they brought Jesus and brought this offering, it says that Simeon, the old prophet, who was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, came to the temple, recognized Jesus, received him, and said that prayer that we are so familiar with because it's sung at Vespers so often, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." He had seen the coming. He had seen the entrance of the Lord into the world. He had seen the entrance of the Messiah into the temple and was now ready to depart this life because he knew that salvation was here. Likewise, a prophet named Anna prophesied similarly about this coming, this entrance of the Lord in the temple. This feast continues a recurring theme in Scripture: God entering, God pursuing, God coming to where we are, God never giving up on us. You know, we heard in today's epistle, Paul said, was telling Timothy that Christ came and saved him, even though he was first among sinners. He said, "I was of whom I am first, Christ came and saved me." And he said, that is a pattern for all who would believe, that when we are the worst, when we are the first, when we are the chief of sinners, that's when he comes to save us. And we read in Paul's second letter to Timothy, it says, "Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, because God cannot deny himself." How many of our Christian remembrances, our holy days, our events, our God coming to us, our God pursuing us, our God entering into our lives when we had gone astray? You know, it goes back to Genesis. After Adam and Eve disobey, what does God do? What does God do? It says, he comes down into the garden is what he does. And it says, oh, Adam and Eve are afraid, so they go and hide. And what does God do? He goes and finds them. That's our stories, that God is always coming to find us. At Annunciation, God enters Mary's womb as an infant. At the Nativity, God enters the world in a cave full of animals. At his baptism, God enters the waters of this world that sustain life. Next Sunday, Jesus will enter the corrupt city of Jericho to save Zacchaeus. On Palm Sunday, he will enter the holy city in order to enter death on the cross. It's enter, 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 enter. Today, he enters the temple as a 40-day-old baby. He enters mankind's place of worship. Wherever we go, and wherever we run, whether to him or from him, God is continually entering our lives. And one of the main lessons of this event teaches us that God remains faithful. Faithful to his own law, but more importantly, faithful to his own people. When we are faithless, God is faithful. When we sin, God pursues us to reconcile. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that times where I have been not so eager to pursue God, I find that not too long after, he's pursuing me a lot more eagerly than I was pursuing him. You know, when we are victims of other people's sin, Christ shares that pain and enters into that pain. And when we suffer general brokenness of this world, God never gives up on us. You know, I've spoken many times on the offering that Joseph and Mary bring as the law required, especially with Jesus being the lamb himself that Joseph and Mary were unable to afford. But St. Theophylact doesn't want us to pass by the meaning of those turtle doves. Theophylact reminds us that turtle doves are a chaste and faithful animal, so much so that when one loses a mate, the other doesn't mate a second time. And he says it in his writing, you know, almost as an aside, but when I read that, I said to myself, I have to look this up. I have to check this out. Don't Google turtle doves unless you have some time, because they're an amazing creature, really. They're an amazing animal. And sure enough, turtle doves are faithful to their mate for life. In one of the hymns of Vespers, turtle doves are presented as an image of Christ and the church, the pair of turtle doves. And wouldn't you know, the male turtle dove is actively involved in taking care of the young. The male incubates the eggs at night and the female does during the day. That's a fact. Both feed the young. Both defend the nest. Both help teach the young to fly, and both shoo them out so they can fly on their own when it is time. And both defend the young as they're learning to make their way in the world. Oh, what a perfect image of Christ and the church. In Christ and the church, both Christ and the church are completely invested in the caring for the faithful. They're completely invested in caring for the vulnerable and the broken and the young in faith. Maybe there are some bird watchers among you. Story is told of a turtle dove pair. A family was watching each day out their window, and they liked watching what they were doing and, you know, how they worked together. Well, one of those doves was injured by a mean old cat. Family took it to the vet, where it had to stay for a week. So the family was worried that its mate would leave because they'd enjoyed watching them working together. The vet said, "Don't worry. She's known studies where turtle doves were separated from each other for 2 years. And still they came back to find each other." And when you think that their life expectancy of a turtle dove is only 3 years, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. And every day this family, while the female turtle dove was being recuperated, they saw the male bopping around outside looking for its mate. And when the family finally brought the now healed dove to the yard and released her, the male found her within minutes. So when you look at this icon here and you think of Joseph and Mary carrying Jesus in one hand and this pair of turtle doves in the other, I mean, look at it. It's an amazing image. It's telling us about Christ and the church. This is the Savior who is entering our world. This is the Savior who is faithful even when we're faithless. This is the Savior who is faithful when we're lost or injured or broken or absent or any of the other things that we do or happen to us. He is not going to give up. He's going to bop around until he finds us and or until we return. Now, I opened with some thoughts on Jamie Kloss's grandfather, Robert Nyberg. Why did I do that? Because Grandpa Robert is an icon of this love, an icon of Christ himself. And he is proof that by God's grace, we can be that dedicated and that faithful. That we can be the first one to get over there and give the lost a hug. That we can smile the biggest when the broken begin to heal. And that with Christ, and now with Grandpa Robert, we can say, I wasn't giving up, and no one around me was either. Amen.